So should the government fund training for so-called paedophile hunters to track down and expose sex offenders? Jim Gamble, who headed the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Centre, thinks that public money could be used to create a citizens' army of detectives. Speaking to the Belfast Telegraph, he said journalists, social workers, teachers, the butcher, the baker and the candlestick maker, whoever felt strongly, could come forward. He joins me now. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Vinny.
And also on the line is Luke Gitos. He is a social and legal editor of the Spiked Online magazine. It's a solicitor, sorry. Good morning to you, Luke.
Good morning.
First of all, Jim, how would something like this actually work?
Well, the reason I've suggested, just to be clear, is because I oppose vigilantism. And currently we have lots of people, simply because they have an active interest in the computer, popping up and populating their Facebook pages with confrontations they instigate against some people who turn up thinking they're going to meet a child. The way this would work to formalise it and bring it within the criminal justice system is that you would advertise and recruit digital volunteer detectives. So similar to the special constables that patrol villages and towns in England, these are volunteers who apply for the job. They are vetted like all police officers, so their character and previous record is checked. And then they're trained and supported. So,
these aren't full police officers, Jim. Some people might say, why not spend that money on just recruiting more police force to do that job for them?
Because £1.5 million using the Police Ready Reckoner would provide 1,000 citizen volunteers across the UK. Because in essence, they'd be volunteers. A coordinator and a detective sergeant to oversee the work that they would do in each policing region is what the cost would be. Bringing those individuals in, provided they're vetted and trained and supported within a police station, would be a powerful thing to do. And they'd be limited to the virtual test purchase work that the current vigilantes do.
And £1.5 million, Jim, that would be enough money to do that and to bring in 1,000 of these so-called citizen army-type amateur detectives.
Yeah. We'd bring in 1,000 online special constables, volunteers, vetted, trained and overseen by the police service, so we could turn the tables on offenders at the minute. You know, we have a handful of police officers doing this work. There simply aren't enough.
So what would they do, Jim? They would be based inside a police office or a police station, or how would this actually physically work?
Well, let's say, Vinny, you were doing it. You would go into your local police station where there'd be a room which would be set up with the computer equipment ready to capture to an evidential standard the information. They would have access to supervisors, and when they did engage someone in conversation, rather than them make judgments, which is currently the case by the vigilantes, they'd be able to do checks using IP address, reconciling who it was you were speaking to, identifying whether they had any children in the house or whether they had jobs which engaged with children. It's not rocket science, and actually we could accelerate our fight against those that represent a threat to our children online by simply bringing this system within the criminal justice sphere.
Okay, so look, this is already happening, as Jim says. There are already people, vigilantes, that are sitting at home. They're trying to catch people through their own Facebook or however, social media, and then they are arranging to meet these people and confronting them as well. So this is just legitimising that and giving it some more kind of kudos.
Well, there's a number of reasons why this is a ludicrous idea. The first is, if you're the kind of person who takes it upon themselves to track line online paedophiles and then upload videos of you trapping them to Facebook, I don't think you're the kind of person we really want working in the police. The police are meant to be objective investigators of crime. They're meant to be impartial when they investigate an offence that has already taken place. They're meant to treat their job with objectivity and impartiality. They're not meant to go out there and undertake a sort of justice, you know, sort of some kind of vigilante justice operation to expose crimes that have not yet taken place. This is a complete subversion of the police force's role. And frankly, I'm quite stunned that a police officer is making the suggestion.
Jim, let's just let Jim respond to that point, because Jim, it's a very emotive subject and it will be very difficult for many people, especially members of the public that don't have all this training that many police officers do behind them, to separate their emotions from facts and, you know, and to not let that cloud their judgment.
Well, clearly, Luke is having difficulty separating his emotions from the facts. And actually, if he listens to what I've said, I'm opposed to vigilantism for all the reasons he's articulated. What I'm saying is you recruit special constables. That's not new. It's not ludicrous. We do it, you know, in other areas of the UK all the time. Volunteer citizens who are vetted. That means they're not the type of people who go on and do ludicrous, irrational things. They are trained. So they operate within the police guidelines that exist for this, and they do it in a police station so they're overseen and work within an infrastructure that actually ensures there are no abuses. And ultimately, if we wait for every crime to be committed, then we forget, you know, one of the principles of crime fighting, which is crime prevention as well as detection. These people don't go on and entice people to commit crime. When you go undercover into one of these environments as a 13-year-old, you simply wait to be approached. The problem is it's like shooting fish in a barrel, and unless we get accredited, supervised people doing it, the vigilantism is going to continue.
Luke?
Well, the proposal seems to be recruit more PSPOs to do this kind of work. I mean, that's it. That's what it boils down to, isn't it? But my question would be, well, why recruit the people who are already online doing this sort of thing rather than just recruiting more PSPOs in the normal way? You seem to say that you reject vigilantism, but you want to recruit people who have dedicated themselves to vigilantism. It seems like you're attempting to dress up a rather unremarkable proposal as something which is more substantial than it is. But I think the other point is this. By going out and seeking to get people to... Because these people are going to constantly be walking the line between investigating crime and entrapping people into committing criminal offences. It's already what you've hinted at. And actually, legally, that's a very hard line to walk. We often have arguments in courts about how police officers, especially agents provocateurs or undercover police officers, have behaved while they're undercover. If you're expecting a layman to go out there and investigate serious crime on a computer sat in the back of a police office, I think you're actually dooming these prosecutions to fail, because there is very little chance that these people are going to have the sophistication to gather evidence in a way which can get past a judge.
Jim, you'll want to respond to that. Is this something that we can get prosecutions that will actually stick from?
Well, here's the thing. You know, the reason I'm suggesting vetting and training is because I think the vast majority of those currently involved in it wouldn't pass the vetting and training. However, even given their amateur status and given the risks that I have no doubt they're incurring towards themselves and others, they are still successfully achieving prosecutions. The two ladies most recently involved in this, who were on the media earlier in the week, had four successful prosecutions recently. The agent provocateur thing is an absolute red herring. That is something that the police monitor, oversee, and ensure they do not do. Providing vetting and training and professional oversight and supervision will mean that doesn't happen. And here's the thing. We talk about this as if police officers are born police officers. The difference between a citizen and a police officer is the uniform that they have because of the training they've gone through.
Of course, but the other difference here, Jim, is these would be volunteers, so they wouldn't be getting paid. So then you do, to an extent, not rely back on the fact that they have an interest in this, they have a passion about this, as many, of course, child protection, many of us do, of course. But when you bring in that element of these people are not being paid to do this...
And you know what? Does that mean every person that operates for a charity because they have an interest in making children safer, in safeguarding their communities, does that mean they have some perverse, you know, intention or rationale for doing what they do? You know, the vast majority of people are inherently good. They are frustrated at the lack of progress being made by the police service in making children safer online. So allowing them to come forward through a system which vets out those who are inappropriate, which trains those who are, and then supports them while they help us make our children safer.
Okay.
I can't think of anything better to do.
Okay, 0-30-30-80-55-55. Is this something that you would sign up to? Is it something you would have an interest in? Mervyn is on the line. Good morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Vinny. Are you all right?
Not too bad. Go ahead.
I suspect Mr. Gamble's heart's in the right place, but I just don't like the sound of this. But would these volunteers, Mr. Gamble, be allowed to give evidence in an open court?
They would have to give evidence in an open court because they would. Once the volunteers were vetted and trained, they'd have had professional training to collect evidence and to give evidence. And remember this, I understand where you're coming from and I understand the reticence, but every police officer was a citizen before they were a police officer. Mm-hmm. It's only the training that differentiates them. Mm-hmm. And rather than have these people doing it willy-nilly, as they are at the minute, this is going to bring them into a system which educates them, which makes sure they've got the right character and makes sure they're able to give evidence and achieve successful prosecutions.
Mr. Campbell, are you saying now, are you saying here this morning on the radio that the PSNI is failing?
I'm not saying that the PSNI, I'm saying the police service across the United Kingdom and beyond is struggling to deal with the tidal wave of individuals who are online downloading indecent images of children, engaging our children for the purpose of grooming them for sex, and a whole range of other child sexual exploitation offences.
But there is a certain element, Jim, of the police force not being able to cope. In this article from the Bell Tell, it says, Mr. Gamble said, I understand exactly why they are doing it. I agree with them. There are too few police to engage with them effectively. So we, you know, you're basically saying we do need either more police officers or this, which would be cheaper.
Well, actually, what I said there was that I understand why they're doing what they're doing, because of the frustration.
Of course.
And there are insufficient police officers. Put this in context. Since 2012, we have lost 22,000 police officers across the UK. There's been an 80% increase in the same time in child abuse investigations. If we're going to better protect our children, then police need to be creative. They need to be imaginative in their response. And perhaps there's nowhere better than Northern Ireland to create an opportunity for members of the community to come forward in a voluntary capacity, be vetted and trained, and participate in helping make our children safe.
Jim, how do the stats compare from Northern Ireland to the rest of the UK?
Well, I wouldn't have access to the breakdown of stats. I mean, Northern Ireland is uniquely positioned because of post-Patton, the restructuring and reshaping of the police service. I think the Public Protection Unit, the move to align them with the other safeguarding agencies, is all good stuff. And I believe that George Hamilton and George Clark and the PPU, their heart is absolutely in the right place.
But do we have any idea, Jim, in terms of sex offenders who use the internet, do we have any idea if Northern Ireland fares any worse or better than the rest of the UK?
I don't think it fares any worse or any better. If you look at the most recent study carried out using a system called Peer Precision, which is now called the Child Protection System, there were up to 50,000 to 60,000 IP addresses in the UK, and that's including Northern Ireland, downloading indecent images of children at any time. All you have to do is scan open source the newspapers in Northern Ireland to identify that we get more than our fair share of those, and we get plenty of people who are grooming our children and lots of children who are inappropriately sharing images online. So it's a universal problem, and we need to have a more creative and imaginative solution that allows those members of the public who are frustrated to come forward and volunteer, be vetted, trained, and participate in making our children safer.
OK, Jim. Thanks, Mervyn. Fra is on the line next. Good morning, Fra. Go ahead.
Yes, Finny, thanks very much. Finny, I just really phoned up to say that obviously the detection and prosecution of paedophiles and paedophilia online is a matter for the police. I think very strongly that what you're doing, if you're kind of outsourcing that in a way, even though it's supposed to be done within a police station by people who are potentially under supervision and trained, I think it's more important to have dedicated, experienced people in charge, and the people who should be kind of following through on this are employed by the police service. I think having people who, you know, genuinely want to maybe make society a better place, I don't think it's the right way to go. I think there are structures in place in society that allow social workers, teachers, members of the community come forward with their concerns.
But Fra, if this is a problem, Fra, and I think to summarise very generally what Jim is saying, yes, we don't have the money to recruit enough police officers to do this, and this is another possibly effective way where we can train people, we can vet them, and it's bound to be better than not having them at all.
Yes, I understand what he's saying, but I think you're opening kind of a case scenario here where anyone who says we don't have the resources because the government won't put them in place, we should just open it up to the public to come forward and help out. I'm not sure that's the correct thing to do. Resources should be found.
Is that a fair point, Jim? Maybe we should just say to the government, look, this is such a serious issue. We've got to get the cash, stump up the money. Times are tight, but, you know, it's children we're talking about.
Priorities.
Yeah, well, times are tight and it is children we're talking about, and many people, including myself, have pressurised the government to the point that I resigned over this because they weren't investing sufficiently in it and they diverted resources over it. So the choice is this. We go on asking the government and being ignored because there is no money, or we actually create a system which stops vigilantes going on doing what they're doing by allowing people to be special constables. That is something that happens across the UK. There are people walking in villages and towns across London tonight in uniform who are volunteers, vetted and trained to do that. We're just taking that concept and putting it online. They are police officers in every sense of the word, including training and vetting. They simply don't get paid, and they are volunteers.
It's difficult, Jim. It's such an emotive subject, and I know you are pushed for time this morning, but it keeps coming back to this, for example, this text that has come in. It says, every fan of a TV cop show will now see a chance to be trained as a bounty hunter. That's from Dennis in Craigavon. If you're happy to stay there for just a second, Jim, I want to bring in Paul Frew at this point, DUP MLA and Chair of the Justice Committee. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning.
You were tweeting about this. We gave you a call. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been interested to have a chat with Jim. I've met Jim, obviously, through his work and through my work in the Justice Committee. And, of course, I'm now chairman of that Justice Committee, so I would be keen to have a chat with him at some point on this.
Is this something you would be behind, Paul?
Well, I would need to see the detail of it, but I think what's important to remember is that these volunteers will be vetted. So that's a very important vetted and trained. So that's a very important thing or item in this issue
if that's a given, is this something that you would consider?
I think we should consider everything that will help protect children. That is why I brought in the Child Protection Disclosure Scheme last year through the Justice Bill. I believe that's a very important tool to arm the public, which is the same sort of concept as Jim's talking about, to arm the public to go forward into a police station and ask for information on an individual who they suspect could be a risk to their child.
But is that not the key word there, Paul, suspect?
Well, you see, we all live our lives and we all go through our daily routines, and then there's something that we think, well, that's quite strange. So we should have the right to go and inquire, to go and ask, and to find out information to ensure that your child or your children are as safe as they possibly can be. Because what we can't ignore here is that there is vacuums of information which breeds vigilantism, which means that people will go out on their own, frustrated or otherwise, and take the law into their own hands.
So there you go, Jim Gamble.
Anything that we can do to stop that or to reverse that is a good thing.
DUP MLA Paul Frew there, Jim, saying that they would consider this.
Well, I mean, that's the rational response I would expect from Paul, who's done some good work in this area. Let me make this clear for people who are listening, Vinny. Let's say you decided to leave broadcasting today and you applied for and joined the police.
Yes.
And you were then trained, okay? And you were put into a computer crime unit. You'd only been in for 2 years, but you'd been trained. You'd done your walk in the beat. You'd done your couple of weeks course and you went into computer crime team. And you're on duty tonight and you identify someone who approaches you to ask you to meet for sex because they think you're 13. Right?
Okay.
The only difference between you then and a volunteer is that you get paid. That's the only difference.
But does that make a big difference? If you are being paid to do a role as opposed to you are there on your own free time, would that affect...
The only difference...
I'm not trying to throw any shade on people that volunteer in volunteering roles, but if you are not paid to be there, does that affect your professionalism?
Not in the slightest, in my experience. That's why we have territorial army. That's why we have special constables. That's why we have people doing fantastic work for all of the charities in Northern Ireland. These are dedicated people. The vetting is what is key. Disclosure and barring as it takes place with those people in the safeguarding community who engage with children and young people. The same vetting would take place for special constables as takes place for regular constables.
Okay.
The training would be fit for purpose for the role that you would carry out, and actually you would be able to, you know, do something which fundamentally makes children safer. That's got to be a good thing.
Okay, Jim, I know you're tight for time, so I'll let you go,
thank
you very much. That's Jim Gamble there. Look, Guidos, your thoughts on what you've just been hearing. Is Luke still there? Or is he gone? We'll check his line. Brendan's on the line as well. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to pay tribute to Jim Gamble. Jim Gamble has been a shining light in the dark underbelly of our society and has had to witness horrendous things that have been done to children. And he's a lone voice. And the first thing is we have to acknowledge what's currently being done is not working. And we have to be innovative. And this business about vetting, I mean, what is vetting? I mean, vetting only proves that you haven't yet been found as an abuser. So it means nothing. We have people who sit in juries, who have had no training, who sit on the most complicated and sophisticated and horrendous murder cases, and their decency shines through on the basis of the facts which is given to them by witnesses and judges. So what is the problem with ordinary citizens? Have we no faith in our ordinary people? I think this is people policing their own communities out doing good. I think it's a great idea. If people have a problem with them in police stations, then let's move them to community centres or stuff like that. But this is a good idea, and I think it should be rolled out with other things.
Brendan, is there an issue, do you think, with the issue of not being paid for it? Now, I know Jim was referring to $1.5 million to train up 1,000 of these special officers.
Well, but I mean, would
some people approach their job differently, given, I keep going back to this, such an emotive issue, would they approach it differently if they are not being paid? Because they feel like they're giving their own time. Do they have
not
more control over what they do?
I work in a leisure centre where I see unpaid volunteers coming in day out and giving their heart and soul to children with disabilities.
Of course, but what I mean is that the emotive issue whenever you are trying to track down and prosecute people that want to basically sexually abuse young children.
No, I think you're undermining people's integrity by saying that people want to stop these people from committing crime and such horrendous crimes. And all Jim Gamble is trying to do is to try a new way, because the other system isn't working. I mean, what are the chances of you getting caught online? It's terrible. Young people's images, millions and millions of them. So I really support this idea. I think Jim Gamble does a fantastic job, and I think we should be supporting him.
Okay, Brendan, thank you. Paul Frew, what happens next? Do you think, will you be meeting with Jim?
Well, I suppose I have a meeting with Jim anyway through the course of my work. So it just happened to be I was listening to a programme and I heard the topic. It's a topic I'm very interested in. That's why I brought forward the Child Disclosure Scheme. I do believe that is working. It's early days yet, and of course, it will be reviewed continuously. But that gives the power to people. That gives the power to people to go into a police station when they suspect that someone has moved into their area, and they're not too sure about somebody. They think there's a risk to their child. They walk into a police station and they can ask for a disclosure on that person, as long as they have a child at the centre of that. So it's not a nosy neighbour charter. It's something that will protect or help to protect children. And if there is something there to be disclosed, something of risk, that will be disclosed to that person. And then that means that that family, that person, can best arm themselves to protect their child. And that's the most important thing here, is the child in our community.
Okay. All right, Paul, thank you very much. That's DUP MLA Paul Frew, who contacted the show. He is the chair of the Justice Committee. George is on the line as well. Good morning, George.
Morning, Zanny.
Go ahead, mate.
I think it's a great idea. I think the key words there Jim Gamble used was vetting and training. Obviously, anybody getting into this scheme, the police would be thoroughly vetted for a start. And then the training, you would expect them to be trained up to a standard that they would sort of know that there is now not probably a fully professional police standard, but enough of a standard to know that there is an alarm bell ringing. So there is, and I would say at that stage, not knowing the whole ins and outs of what Jim's proposing, but I would say at that stage then, if they were to flag that up then, so a police officer would come in at that stage and help them with any conversation that they would have with a suspected paedophile online. You know, so anything at all that's going to protect kids and any...
Would you sign up yourself, George?
Well, at the time, yes, Danny, I would, absolutely, because I think it's a thing that would be close to everyone's heart. You know, we have seen enough cases, high-profile cases, in fact, in this country to know that it does go on, and I mean, it's an indicative part of our society at the moment, and anything that helps, yes, I'd be up for it, and I'm sure any right-thinking person with time in their hands would. You know, the likes of Mervyn Art rang in earlier on, I'm sure... if the scheme was run right, he'd be up for it as well. As I say, anything that helps kids that's in danger is a goer in my book. And the fact that they'd be vetted and there's training given is even more of a plus point. I don't think, and Jim would probably say this, I don't think if there was a red flag that whoever was signed up to the scheme as a volunteer would be left to run alone with it. At that point, I think the police, although you would be still talking to them probably as a volunteer online, but I think at that stage the professionals would come in and engage you.
Of course, but the mechanics of it is something that they would have to work out. But one of the points Jim was trying to make was that you would have the same training, the same vetting as a paid officer would. So technically, should there be a difference when it comes to actually apprehending them and catching them at the end?
Well, you see, the key word is volunteer, Vinny. If you're going to go into this and going to get trained up for it, and you're not going to do it for the money, you're going to do it for to protect kids, and it's something that you want to do. So monetarily wise, it wouldn't come into it at that stage. You'd be looking at it, you'd be setting it up for it, you'd be doing the training solely for the fact that you want to keep kids safe.
Okay. All right, George, thank you. Colin, last call on this for now. Go ahead.
Hi, Vinny. I just was listening there to a couple of the previous callers. I'm a survivor of child sexual abuse, and the mechanisms in place now weren't in place when I was a kid. And I think Jim has come up with a brilliant idea there, and it should be rolled out.
You'd be all for it?
Yes, and I would sign up as well, because I do a lot of volunteer work already with youth groups and scouts and things like that. So the vetting processes are getting better. They are not the real McCoy just yet, but we are improving our child protection systems here. But I think it's maybe important to just reiterate some of the stuff that Jim had said, because the sentences and things need to be looked at as well. And I think Northern Ireland has a good chance with the new committees and things in Stormont to take the lead on this.
Because, Colin, I think one of the things we didn't really emphasise a lot this morning was the actual impact of people that are not caught, in terms of the damage that they can do to a young person. I can't even begin to imagine how difficult it is for you to talk about, but what kind of lasting impact does it have on your life when you are the victim of sexual abuse?
It never leaves. I prefer to say a survivor now, because I'm still on a survivor journey, if you want to say it. But in my day, the perpetrator didn't have to be on a keyboard. It was grooming in a way that was, a pillar of the society. But nowadays, it's in kids' bedrooms. It's on their mobile phones. It's so easy for these people to set these meetings up and things. And I agree with Jim in the extent of the vigilantism. The people that are doing it now, perhaps their hearts are in the right place. I don't know, maybe some of these uploaded videos where they confront the people. If you're going to carry that forward into successful, prosecutions, well then yes, continue with that. But definitely, if it's something that's going to be rolled out through the police across the UK, then definitely I would say it would be a goer.
Okay. Colin, thank you very much for calling in. We'll